Good afternoon, viewers. This is the maiden edition of our long-awaited Present True Talk. That comes out to walk us through first part of the series. In these episodes, we will be discussing various aspects of our lives, and we are going to make sure that we try as much as possible to discuss these issues in line with contemporary and societal challenges that we face. Our maiden talk show, That Present Truth Show, will discuss spiritual fruit, focusing more on the fruit of the spirit. Subsequent episodes will discuss in much detail fruit of the spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. In line with contemporary issues and societies, facilitators or discussants will always attempt at tackling every topic from Christian norms, morals, and Bible perspective. The Bible will be our only standard of truth, a moral compass, though other relevant supporting sources, extra-biblical materials, may be cited to enhance and spice the discussions. As Paul admonished in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Viewers can read more from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 and 12 on this topic. We kindly entreat our subscribers, our viewers, our listeners to be decent in their comments, share, subscribe, and like to grow our viewership. They can also send their support, personal questions, and suggestions to nasifevangelism@gmail.com. With me this afternoon to discuss this important topic is Ms. Esther Asare, PhD. She has background in information technology. She loves to share and study God's word. And in fact, he's been very, very instrumental when it comes to our popular program that is virtually hosted. That is our radio, the Adventist talk show, which comes your way every Saturday mornings between the hours of 7 and 9 o'clock Beijing time. Supporting her is another powerful speaker, Ms. Gertrude Doche Bampoy, who's also a PhD in management science and engineering student at Jiangsu University in China. She also doubles as a co-speaker on the popular Adventist Hour program. She loves the word of God and service. She's also a great self-made entrepreneur. In fact, I can't go better than that. So beginning with our spiritual gifts. So you want each is going to give us a 5 minutes intro to the study. I don't know who is going to start. Sister Gertrude, please take over. So please take over. And what is it about when we talk about spiritual gift? What is it? What is all about this gift that we're talking about? Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you for tuning in to our discussion. So we'll first read the Bible verse in context of our discussion, and it's from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. And it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Against such there is no law. So you will ask, what are the fruits? Let's go to normal agricultural terms. Yeah. How are you going to get the fruit? It's from a plant. A plant is planted in the soil. You water it. It grows up. And the fruits are born out of the growing plant. So in biblical terms, we'll say that the fruit of the Spirit comes out as a result of a person who is grounded or who is abiding in a tree. And what is the tree? The tree is Christ, because it is said that the fruit of the Spirit are the fruits that we get when we are grounded in Christ. And Christ is the main vine, and we are the branches. So when we are grounded in Christ, naturally, the things that we see, the transformation that we experience, are what the fruit of the Spirit is about. So the fruit of the Spirit isn't something that we achieve by human effort. It is possible to produce and display some features. You know, there are some people who do not believe in Christ, who display these gifts that we have said, these fruit of the Spirit that we have mentioned from Galatians 20 to 23. But it is not something that we can achieve by our willpower. I would compare it to having a real fruit and wax. So we can manufacture wax, but we can never manufacture a real fruit. And we know that if we are having the real fruit, it means we are bearing the qualities that are genuine and real. And we can only get those things from Christ. And if we are able to ground ourselves in Him, who is the vine, then our lives are going to begin to reveal these characteristics, these fruits that we are mentioning, because we have been grounded in Christ and not of ourselves. So I think this is what I would say about the beginning of experiencing the fruit of the Spirit.
Wow. Well, you know, I told you that I have an able team, you know, and just in truth, it's so succinct. Mommy Esther, you know, we're talking about spiritual gift. We look at spiritual, then we will dive more into the fruit. We'll be talking them in our subsequent episode, one after the other. In a nutshell, what are these spiritual
fruits of the Spirit?
So, Sister Getty said, for me, I would like to just read what Christ said in Matthew 7, 16 downwards. He says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Sure. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles? Even every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring up forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Like Sister Getty gave us an object lesson, linking it to what Christ says, that by their fruit ye shall know them, or you shall know them. It is not possible to go and pluck mango from an apple tree and vice versa. So it is not possible for me to say I am led by the Holy Spirit when I am portraying the works of the flesh. So like Galatians 5 mentions and lists all the fruit of the Spirit. What I find amazing is it was not in plural. It did not say the fruits of the Spirit. This I heard during a sermon. Because if it had said the fruits of the Spirit, it would mean that you are allowed to have one and not another. But it said it means that for every Christian, we are to have all of these things that are mentioned. I cannot have love and not have joy. I cannot have peace and not have temperance and kindness and all that are mentioned there. We are to have all of them. Maybe it will take time to develop them one after the other, but you cannot be an impatient person and still say you have love in your heart. So it says the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. So whilst sometimes we all see certain character traits in us that do not align with what are mentioned here, we have the opportunity to still ask for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, for it is the fruit of the Spirit. It means that Holy Spirit works in us to develop all of these. So I may be kind now, but still have some impatience in me. As I keep praying for the Holy Spirit to work in me, you'll work in me concerning my impatience, that I get to a point where I am very patient as a Christian. So I get to a point where I have self-control or temperance, to a point that I am faithful to God in all of my dealings and even to men. So what I want to draw our attention to is that it is not the fruits, but the fruit of the Spirit, meaning that every individual as a Christian who is led or has allowed themselves to be led by the Spirit is to have all of these as a fruit, not as fruits. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That is very powerful. And then I want to look at some of the admonitions of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, you talk about the Holy Spirit and what he does in our lives. He gives this gift. Concerning the spiritual gift, brethren, I wouldn't have you be ignorant. Peter also talk about he also not letting us be in ignorance. So if, in fact, these are very, very important. If somebody lives in ignorance, he has done something dangerous to you. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gift. That is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. But rather that you may prophesy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, he put it this way. Even so, yea, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edification of the church. So you need all these things put together. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants us to have these gifts so that they will be used to edify the world, the church of God. We are looking at two seemingly dichotomous issues, but they are not. They go hand in hand. It's the Spirit that gives this gift that we are talking about. And as Sister Esther said, we have fruit of the Spirit. Right? It's the Spirit that is giving us this fruit. And we talk about love. We talk about so many of them. And in our subsequent episode, God will be tackling them one after another. And we are doing discussion in tandem with some biblical examples, right? So we're now going to dive into what the Bible says and some of the examples that we can actually glean, real life stories where you'll be able to learn from how they lead their lives, either positively or negatively. So Sister Gertrude, you come in as usual, then Sister Esther. Thank you.
Okay, I would like to use Joseph as an example, as somebody who exhibited, I think, prominently one who would say self-control, but that is one of the gifts that we mostly associate Joseph with, yes. But I also saw some other prominent ones in it. And we talk about meekness. Joseph, I would say he was meek, even in the humbling state of being in prison. We see how he was able to maneuver his ways in prison, relate with people in prison, seek for help, and be able to trust people and love the inmates, I would say inmates. So, in as much as he had the self-control that we all know, I think, like what Sister Esther said, he possessed everything altogether, because without that, he wouldn't have been able to remember the things that he has been taught that he has to refrain from, such deeds, or he has to still stick with what he has been taught back home, what his father taught him. So if the Holy Spirit wasn't working through him and working with him, if he wasn't exhibiting all these gifts, then we'd say that he has forgotten what he was taught and the Spirit has departed him. But we see that even after the brothers came, he had love and compassion. He was joyful. He had peace with himself. He was thrown into a dungeon. He was thrown into a pit to be sold, but he still had peace with himself. And the long suffering that he had to wait, he had to endure all the pain to be able to be lifted up to a second in command. It is an exhibition of the fruit of the Spirit. So I see Joseph to be a great example as somebody who allowed himself to let the Spirit work in him so that others may emulate it. So when we see Joseph, we don't have to just see the self-control part. Let's look at his whole life, and we would be able to know that indeed he exhibited all the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Sister Esther, please take over.
Okay. Wonderful. So I would like to talk about Daniel. We all know Daniel so well and his companions. These people, when you read other Bible commentaries, will tell you they were sent in exile. They went into exile at a very young age. But we know them for their self-control they also portrayed. But if you read and you analyze their lifestyle, you would see that they also possessed all the fruits of the Spirit. In the book of Daniel, we are told that Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with a portion of the king's meat or anything that had to do with the servants or the things that were served at the king's table. So Daniel, Azariah, Mishael, and the third person, we know them to be Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, but their real names. And for you to purpose in your heart, it makes us see the root of how the self-control starts. It does not, we make a mistake to think it is when we come into a certain situation, that is when we are able to practice these things, or that is when the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do these things. But it starts to rise from the heart with a lot of preparation. For it says he purposed in his heart, which I can boldly say that this is somebody who has prayed and has allowed the Holy Spirit to abide in him and work in him for such a long time that purposing in his heart led him to live according to the purpose that he had in his heart. So we see these young people in exile in a faraway country where they can choose to live in any way, anyhow, and not be accountable to anybody, for their parents were not there. But they allowed themselves to still live according to the training they had gotten before going into exile. They had self-control not to defile themselves. And we also see the fruit of the Spirit when it comes to love and kindness and patience. When King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and all of the wise men were to be slaughtered. In our world now, imagine I go into exile in a foreign land where I am a slave, and these people are not able to do as the king has requested. It would be fair to say they should be slaughtered. But because of the love they had, we read that Daniel says that the king should give him some time for he and his companions to pray to their God. If it's not out of love, you would have allowed them to say, okay, you can go ahead and slaughter these people, but for me and my friends, give us some time to pray about this so we can come to you with what our God tells us. But he asked for time for himself and for the heathen, that's the wise men, the people of Babylon. And in his love, in his patience and prayer and communion with God in prayer, he had an answer that saved all of them. So like Sister Getty said, we may know these people for self-control or for one particular character, fruit of the Spirit, but analyzing it critically, we see they possess everything as is listed in Galatians chapter 5.
Yes.
Wow, wow, wow. I told my viewers that You can't get it better than what you are getting here. I hope by the grace of God, we be also controlled. You're going to give the mass. You cited this issue. In a contemporary world where people tend to be parochial, selfish, and then even they want, when it is in your hand, they want to take it. And the other has gone out, just, you know, give it to them. Like, you will have him be happy, yeah, look at them. But we see that kind of compassion that these people should. And I love the ages that you brought in. Now, these were people within their teens. In our contemporary societies, in your teens, that is where you enjoy whatever you have. Your opportunity to dine with the king, take from his delicacies, among others. Wouldn't you go for it? But we see them purpose, you know, it's something they had actually, the decision was made even before they got there. You don't allow situation to detect you what you're supposed to, you fail. So you have to make that conscious effort to make the decisions now before what they actually arrive. So we're looking at our take-home messages based on what we have actually discussed. And I love the way Paul captures some of these things in his epistles to the Galatians and that of the Ephesians. In the Ephesians, I read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So once you have that, once you have the fruit of the Spirit, it's kind of be able to guide you as you walk through all the niche and crannies of life. Sister Gertrude, your take-home message, then Sister Esther will come in. Then we will say bye to our viewers. Yes.
Okay. All right. So for my take-home message, I would like to read from with our adults of our school, we have treated this, and it gives a really nice summary for the Friday. It gives a really nice summary, and it was picked or adapted from chapter 30 of the book, The Holy Spirit, written by Bellingham Walsh from the Lagos Bible Software. So it says that in modern language, the passage in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 could read something like this. The fruit of the Spirit is an affectionate, lovable disposition, a radiant spirit and a cheerful temper, a tranquil mind and a quiet manner, a forbearing patience in provoking circumstances and with trying people, a sympathetic insight and tactful helpfulness, generous judgment and a big-souled charity, loyalty and reliableness under all circumstances, humility that forgets self in the joy of others. In all things, self-mastered and self-controlled, which is the final mark of perfecting. This is the kind of character that is the fruit of the Spirit. Everything is in the word fruit. It is not by striving, but by abiding. Not by worrying, but by trusting. Not of works, but of faith. I would like to leave everybody with these words. Do not strive to achieve them, because the more you strive on your own, the more you fail. But just like the fruit is born out of the watering, out of the tree, out of the nourishments of the tree, that is what the Holy Spirit does to us. If we ground ourselves in Christ, He is going to nurture us. And we will not strive to achieve all these wonderful, wonderful fruits that we have mentioned. It will naturally come to us, and the experience would be amazing.
Massive, massive, massive. In fact, it's going to be amazing. Sister Esther, your take-home message.
For me, I'd like to leave us with words of Christ in John 14, verse 1. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, also believe in me." And we know from then, from these verses, he next preceding, continuing chapters, he talks about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He sends the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter. He says the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. The Holy Spirit would reproach us of our sins and lead us into righteousness. When we mention all of these things, it is easy for us to see all of our faults, how impatient and how much love we do not have, how unkind we are. It is so easy to see all of these things. But he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Do not worry. In contemporary English again, do not worry. It is the Holy Spirit that will work in you to achieve all of these things. You don't have to use your own strength. You just have to acknowledge your need of the Holy Spirit and how deficient you are in all that we have said, and ask the Lord for help. And again, the psalmist says, when I lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? And he continues to say, my help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And he made us. So he would help us in achieving all of these things in the power of his might. So may the Lord help us all. In Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. It can be more powerful than this. Before we say the closing prayer, I want to ask you once again, read our focus for the discussion, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, among others. So in our next episode, God willing, we will dive deep into what love is about. The word that is most abused in our contemporary society is the word L-O-V-E, love. So we're looking at what really is love in our next episode. So our viewers can, as we requested, they should be able to give us comments, dissent. They should be able to subscribe, share, and send us their questions, their support, their suggestions, in a way to improve these particular episodes that we have actually started. We want to say we love them. I want to say we cherish them so much. They should continue to support us in diverse ways that they can to grow this network. Sister Esther, please kindly pray for us as we bring
this to a close. Yeah. Dear Lord in heaven, we are so grateful for your word. We thank you that your word is instruction to us. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, guiding us in this world of darkness. For we cannot navigate in our own wisdom and in our own strength. We will keep failing. So we pray and ask that your word will continuously abide in our hearts. Help us to live according to them, for we cannot do that in our own strength. We pray for what we have studied, dear Lord. Let these be words that would abide with us forever. Let these words grow in us and help us grow in you. We pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for he is our greatest need. Without him, we cannot do anything. So, dear Lord, we pray for ourselves. We pray for our listeners. We pray for the entire body of Christ. We need you in these days more than ever. And we ask the Lord, you lead us by the hand, that we will not let you go, neither you will let us go until the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you with all of our hearts, for we have asked these and many more in Christ's name.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Sister Gertrude. Thank you so much, Sister Esther. I still remain your host, Stephen Ajiman. You come your way next week. God bless you and bye-bye.